welcome back to another episode of Just Our Luck Podcast. I'm your host, Key. Today, I am with Crystal. How are you?
Hi. I'm well.
I'm nervous. Sound less nervous, please.
Okay.
It's just a regular day. It's a regular chat. Just talking about you. It's okay.
Okay. Well,
this is a safe space. Okay, so Crystal, tell us about yourself. You know, you're obviously a graduate. What school did you go to? How do I know you?
I went to Seton Hall with Miss Kimani. I met Kimani through Instagram, actually. She wanted to be my roommate. That didn't happen.
That did not happen.
Yes, and then we met each other through our friend who was a guest on the show, Cassidy. We all wanted to go party, and the rest is history.
Yeah, look at us now.
Now we're grown and adults. Not fun.
So what did you major in versus what you... Okay, what did you originally major in versus what you graduated with?
So when I was in high school, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I did research and I was like, oh, occupational therapy seems like a good field to go into because I want to help people. I didn't know how I wanted to help people, but I just knew I wanted to. And I did one of those, like, stupid personality tests where it, like, matches you up to, like, a profession. And that was, like, on the list.
Crystal, you were not using a BuzzFeed article to help pick out your career. Oh, my God.
Absolutely, I was. And my guidance counselor was like, yeah, that's a good idea. So I was like, So I applied to Seton Hall and, like, a bunch of other places. Their OT programs in Seton Hall accepted me. So when I started, I was social behavioral science on an OT track. So I wasn't, like, in the program, but I was tracking the program on the road to entering the program.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did that work out for you?
I tried. Well, my freshman year, I did not try. So I was not surprised when I didn't do well in the hard science classes.
And when you say well, do we mean like literal failing? No.
No, I never failed the class. However, I was not happy and I wouldn't get into grad school with that grade. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my sophomore year, there was still hope because at Seton Hall, there was like a certain GPA requirement you had to meet. So my freshman year, I met that GPA requirement and then like it changed a little bit my sophomore year. So I was trying sophomore year.
That's all we can do.
Yeah, I did better. I kind of got my act together, but not all the way. I'm pretty sure it's my second semester of sophomore year where I got dismissed from the program. My parents do not know that till this day. They think I made the switch on my own.
See, now this is interesting because Cassidy told her parents, hey, girl, this is it. This isn't the original plan anymore. You just glazed it over.
I did the fact. At one point, I was even like trying to propose to them that I should transfer to Rutgers.
I do remember this.
Yeah, because I also thought I was going to lose my scholarship. I was a hot mess, as a lot of you who may be listening already know. 18 to 19, maybe even 20 was not the best time for me. So I ended up staying as a social behavioral science major, and I ended up minoring in psychology and social work. And then over time, I realized I liked social work more than psychology, but it was too late to switch to that major.
Same, yes. when you're looking at the course catalog and you're like, oh, another two semesters? No, that's okay. I'll be okay. Make it work.
Yeah, I have a lot of background, through education of social work. I haven't done anything in the field yet, but You know, we're working on that. You took the classes.
You took them.
Yeah.
Okay, so you gradually got to the idea of, I like social work, after, you know, fumbling a little. Stumbling, if you will.
Stumbling. Yes. That would be accurate. Falling flat on my face and then figuring out, yes, I got back up.
Okay, so now knowing that you're about to graduate with a degree in social behavioral sciences, did you know that social work was, like, your preferred industry to go in? Or was it kind of just like, I'll apply to anything that'll just fit in this broad category?
So, another anecdote here. So, when I told my family that I wanted to go into social work, they were just all like, what, like, why? Because I have a cousin who, she had her BSW, she worked for New York, she ended up, like, not being able to handle the amount of trauma and all the things that come with it mentally.
Yeah.
So everybody is like, oh, do you see what happened to her? Like, she went into social work and now she had to do something else. Mm-hmm. Or they're like, oh, like, it doesn't pay that much. But they're not very aware, or I should say educated, about the field, so they don't understand. So, yeah, I was kind of hesitant about what I was going to do post-graduation when it came to grad school, because I, one, didn't want to rush into anything, because I just didn't want to make a decision that I wasn't 100% about. And two, I wasn't sure if it was, like, exactly what I wanted to do, because I was taking a lot of different things into consideration when thinking about things post-grad. Mm-hmm. So I thought the best option was to be take a year off.
Okay.
So I started looking into, you know, like, entry-level positions, also, like, you know, volunteer. I was also looking, now I forget the organization, that sucks, but I was looking at this one nonprofit organization near me that they were hiring, but then...
Oh, yes. This raggedy pandemic. So, okay, so you had the common sense to know, like, we're not about to just, like, pick something, throw everything in a hat, pick, see what comes out, and then just go with it. How did you feel like you were comparing yourself a lot when you know, knowing that you yourself were comfortable with choosing to do a gap year, but also, like, knowing that, you know, you had friends who were going into grad school or, like, you know, trying to find something in their career. Did you ever feel like you were comparing yourself, or were you like, was this the right choice? Or were you confident?
110%. I second guess myself every day, even now. But a lot of the times I have to remind myself that, one, like, a lot of my friends aren't in the same field as me. So there are people who went the business route and they had offers, like, before we even graduated. There are people who you don't need a master's degree for what they do. So that's another thing I have to remind myself. Like, you, example, you don't need a master's degree for what you do.
And I will not be getting one. At least that I'm going for.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do. Don't do it unless they're paying for it 110%. That was another thing I was thinking about, just a segue. I was trying to work somewhere and then have them pay for grad school, but clearly that didn't work out. But yeah, it's been a lot of second guessing, a lot of doubting myself. But all in all, I don't feel completely bad about taking the gap year.
Okay, that's good.
Because it just helped me to, because I did more research after the fact. Obviously, when we were in the depths of the panorama, I had nothing else to do, so I was researching, and I'm happy about my decision to choose social work, because it is something I'm passionate about.
Do what you love.
Exactly. So it's been rough. Like, I compare myself a lot of the times, but I have to remember everybody's in a different space than I am. And then there's always like a different way to a different path mm-hmm. you can go to get to where you want to be.
Right.
So,
and that's the annoying thing. There's so many different ways to do something, and you think you're going to do it one way, and then something happens and you're like, wait, I have to do this myself. Like, I have to figure this out. I can't just follow what somebody else did to make that work. Interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Okay, so you're in your gap year. You know, we graduated almost a year ago.
Oh, boy.
How's it been? What are you doing?
Okay, so before graduation, I was a host at this restaurant near where we went to school. And then the pandemic happened, and somehow I got roped into being a bartender mm-hmm. when the restaurant reopened. So I was doing that for the summer. It was really good money, but then I started hating it because, mm-hmm. not to get into too much of the details, let's just say I had a racist and misogynist boss.
Right.
And it was just a lot of nonsense happening there, so I was getting tired.
Right.
And my good friend Keith says to me from the depths of hell, basically this rehabilitation clinic was hiring, and I applied and I got the job. So I work as a patient care coordinator at a, they call themselves a rehabilitation and regenerative medicine mm-hmm. practice. So that's what I do now. Honestly, it's another depth of hell. Right. Not as deep down as before, but it is what I think I'll be doing for the short-term future mm-hmm. until I get my master's degree.
Yeah.
I'm thinking. Yeah.
You know, it would be so nice if the things we had to do as a part-time job or a full-time job were not miserable and suffering, you know?
Yeah, I
work at the mall and peacefully, blissfully, you know, then I would do that. But of course, it's not. Everything is not what we want it to be. And that's when you realize, I need to go. I need to get out now.
Yeah, I feel like I already want to leave this job. Just because it's so demanding, it's really long hours. They try to change the schedule now, so I'm not really sure how that would work for grad school.
Right.
Because grad school's a lot, and that's my first priority. But also, I can't get you broke. I have things to pay for, so
yes.
I might have to be applying to. Yeah, I might have to be applying to my new job possibly.
Oh,
in the year once grad school is up and rolling.
Once you start thinking like, yeah, I'm about to leave this job, then it kind of sort of gets better. Like, things kind of calm down for a little bit, and you're like, okay, maybe I was being dramatic. And then something happens again, and you're like, oh, no. I remember.
No. Yeah, this place is constantly crazy. I just cannot, but we'll see.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
Right. So, patient care coordinator, it sounds like it's a good add to your resume, like in the sort of kind of like caring field. Maybe I'm making that up. Maybe.
No, I mean, well, the name sounds cool. It does.
Mm-hmm.
But all I really am is a freaking receptionist,
gotcha.
To be honest.
Okay.
But honestly, every day I sit there and I do something new, and I'm like, wow, I can spin this in some sort of way to put this on my resume and make it sound like something exceptional.
Oh, absolutely.
When it's so basic, like, so basic.
Flip some words around. Add a little fancy adjective.
Yeah.
You know,
like, I can literally say that I oversee hundreds of patients a day, which is technically not wrong. And maybe not hundreds, but over 100 people a day. You know how mentally draining that is.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, and I have to be nice to all of them. And it's not a problem being nice, but like just constantly being on and like peppy and just mm-hmm. like giving everybody the same experience. Sometimes it's just too much doing that 12 hours a day. I'm just here like, God, dang.
Right. Like, it's time to go. For me personally, it's time to go.
Yes. So when I get home, it's unwind and just in my solitude and my peace. Like, don't talk to me for a good hour.
Right. I've been talking all day. Please leave me alone. Please. I beg you. Oh, God. Okay. So you're kind of sort of, things were going well in the beginning. Now you're over it, as life is always, unfortunately. So how's the grad school hunt been?
So I've definitely looked into my options. I mean, now it doesn't even matter. Obviously, the program matters because if they're accredited, if they're accredited, and like, you know, what the stats look like for every grad school, just kind of like how you look for undergrad.
Right.
However, I messaged one of my professors. Okay, I waited like maybe a week, 2 weeks for his response.
Mm-hmm.
So I was getting ready to send a follow-up email. So and then I logged into my City Hall email address because that's where I messaged him on. And I see he responded. So I'm like, oh, this is great. He agrees to write a recommendation letter for me. And he's like, if you want to meet via Teams, we can do so. That was a week and a half ago.
Oh.
I cannot locate this man, given he did tell me that it's a busy time for him, but don't agree to something that you cannot follow through on, sir.
Right.
Like, hello.
Right.
So when
deadlines to meet. Hello.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So when I messaged him, I was like, oh, like, this is going to be like super quick. Like, it's a recommendation letter. We can get this done like a week, 2 weeks tops. And a lot of the grad schools that I was looking at, like, the deadlines are extended
mm-hmm.
all the way, like, even into like June, the summer. Yeah, some schools, not all schools, but like, I missed the deadline for so many because he didn't get back to me. So I'm sitting here like,
ooh, sir, this is my future. This is my future in your hands, and you're wasting my time. If you can't do it, let me know. Please.
Literally. Like, all I need is a response. Like, I can't do this right now. Don't have enough time. Or let me know what it needs to say. I'll write it for you. You can look it over and, like, keep pushing. Like, what is taking so long? Like, I don't understand. And I was like, you know, in undergrad, I did not like participating in a class.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't like speaking. But in this class, my senior year, I was one of the only people who participated, and it was an 8 a.m. class, okay? And I was, like, one of the only people who knew what was going on. So I'm just like, sir, I think I deserve this recommendation letter.
Right. I put
it in the word. So you need to write it.
I held this class down.
Yeah.
You owe me one.
Exactly.
Oh, no. No.
It's 8 a.m., and I was a commuter. So that's the, like, main thing that I'm waiting on, really, because until I have my recommendation letters, I technically can't even start applying. And the other two that I'm going to get, they'll be so quick. Like, I'm probably going to ask my previous boss. I wanted to ask my current employer, but I heard some BS. So I don't really know if I want them to write my recommendation letter for me. So,
God.
Yeah. So...
Good.
So we're kind of like back in square one. I thought I was taking about 3 steps forward, and I just took 2 steps backwards with this guy taking forever. So grad school may or may not happen for me next fall.
What the hell? It's going to happen. We're manifesting it, and we're going to some pep in this professor's step.
I'll have to write a follow-up email. But I will say, I do want to comment on that I was kind of getting, like, losing hope about him emailing me back. And then I started saying, like, oh, yeah, my professor emailed me back. So, or my professor is going to write a recommendation letter for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, a few days after I said that, even though he hadn't, when I went in my email, it was there. So maybe I do need to start, like, speaking things into existence.
Exactly. We just... If we see it, we'll believe it. Claim it like it's yours.
Yes. You know? Yes, I need to start doing that.
Speak into the universe, and it'll come back.
So we'll see.
So a part of applying for grad school, you have to have letters of recommendation. Do you need to take the GRE? I know some schools are waiving it, but like...
A lot of the schools that I've seen so far are waiving it. I did previously take the GRE my senior year of college. Mm-hmm. I wanted to retake it, but if they're not making me do so, I don't think I'm going to waste the money or the time.
Right.
I don't know how they would regulate that because you have to be in a room. I mean, wear a mask, obviously, but I'm assuming they want to kind of not have to do that.
You need oxygen.
You have to have all these random people.
And wearing a mask limits your oxygen. Therefore, you cannot make me take a test for over how long? I mean, I've never taken the GRE.
It's long.
3 plus hours?
I think I was there for 3 hours. It's like a cubby, and like it's just like you're in this room. It's super quiet. All these people in there with you. It's just not fun at all.
And it's
not fun.
Like,
I'm just dreading it.
And it's like math-based reading comprehension. Like the SAT?
Yeah, I think there was an essay. Literally the SAT, but like college edition.
Ew.
Like there was an essay on it on everything, and I was just like, this sucks. And honestly, I think it was worse that it was on the computer.
Oh.
It was so hard for me to focus on the computer. I don't know. When it comes to taking tests, I like to like... I just like knowing that I can go back and forth, like if I need, I mean with the SAT you couldn't go back a section, but at least like if I wanted to like, you know, look back for the page, you know, sounds kind of stupid, but
you're just clicking
that's my thing. Exactly. And then like I think like I ran out of time, like it's just like oh my god, I hate this.
It's a little stressful. Okay, yeah. So noted, don't take the GRE. At least the score lasts for 5 years, right?
Yeah, I should be good on that if I wanted to use that one. I mean, it wasn't a horrible score. I just wanted to do better if I could. But
yeah,
it's fine.
Average. There's
average
nothing
is good.
Wrong with average.
Absolutely not.
Okay. I mean,
some of the most great people are pretty average.
Listen, what they fail to tell us, yes, having a GPA is important in college, but and I mean there are some applications I've seen where they ask for your GPA when you're applying for jobs. Other than that, like nobody's gonna be like, oh, so like what was your GPA?
Absolutely not.
Right. This is
the only thing. Yeah, like the only thing it matters for in undergrad is like if you're going into the medical field and all that stuff. But other than that, what do you need to know my GPA for? All you need to know is I could do the job. That's
why. Right. If you're cutting me open, I would like to know that you didn't almost fail college.
Exactly. As long as you didn't fail, we're good.
So
we're good.
Then another question about grad school, do you have a preference of like how long the program is? Like, are there differences in curriculum for social work, like more field experience versus like in the classroom?
So for some programs, you can do, some programs are 1 year, some programs are two, some programs are three. I think I would want to go into a program that is more field work based, just because for people who did like got a BSW and they got to do field work because that's their major. So like the last year, I think the last semester, you go out and you do field work, you have a placement. I didn't get to experience that because I wasn't able to switch my major. So I think for grad school, I would want to have like a fieldwork placement. I'm pretty sure regardless of what, like how long your program is, you probably do end up doing fieldwork for grad school. It just makes the most sense because you want to get as much shadowing / practice in before you're out there on your own trying to help people. So, for me, I ideally don't want to do a 3-year program. I think that's just a long time. Yeah.
Like people are in law school for 3 years. And that's like rigorous, mentally draining, you know, memorizing laws. Not saying that social work isn't not important, but what?
No, but it's a different type of, how do you say? It's just different.
Interesting. Oh my gosh.
Like, I would agree with that statement. It's not, like, degrading or discrediting the social work field because it is an important field. But I don't think 3 years is necessary for social work. It depends, though, like, what you want to go into for social work. Mm-hmm. I think that also can make a big difference because there's, like, a lot of different fields you can go into from being at Seton Hall and being a social work minor. I got to meet a lot of my professors who are in such different categories, you can say, of mm-hmm. social work. Like, I had one professor, he was, like, a lawyer, but, like, a social work lawyer or something like that. There, I had one professor who did, like, play therapy.
Oh.
It was so cool. I think that was the most interesting to learn about. And then there's obviously, like, a caseworker. There's mm-hmm. people who work in the agencies. There's people who run the agencies. Like, there's just so many different routes you can go, like, different ways you can go into that. So I think that also affects the grad school process, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I need to do more research, clearly.
Oh my gosh. fall cohort.
I think I know what I want to do, but I don't know, like, every facet of it.
Okay. So, what do you think you want to do?
So, how I mentioned play therapy.
Yeah, what is that? Please explain.
Oh, yes. So, basically, it has to do with kids. And so, how my professor said she would do it, it's like, you can have, like, I don't know, it's like they're coming into a classroom, essentially, or however you have your space set up. Mm-hmm. And you just have the kid, like, play with, like, a stuffed animal, or you have them draw, or whatever the case is, and you just listen to the things that they say. So, like, I feel like a lot of times people feel like kids are just, I mean, kids do have an imagination, but a lot of times people feel like kids are just saying things to say things. But if you actually take the time out to listen to what they're saying,
they're very intelligent.
You can catch on to things. Because I was with a child, and, like, she was saying, she, like, brought a bear to me, a teddy bear to me. Mm-hmm. And she was saying, I was like, oh, what's the teddy bear's name? And she was, like, angry. And she's, like, not even, like, 5. And I'm like, what do you mean the teddy bear's name is angry? I'm like, the teddy bear's angry? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, why is the teddy bear angry? And she's like, the teddy bear wants to go home. And I'm like, go home from where? And then she, like, starts saying stuff. And I'm like, wait,
there's more.
So I feel like this immediately. I feel like there's just so much that can come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I am passionate about kids and wanting to advocate for kids because they cannot advocate for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And two, like, I just feel very strongly about, you know, doing things. I don't want to fall into that, you know, with the story. Oh, now I'm forgetting the kid's name. But basically, the social worker neglected to properly investigate when she went into the house calls. And it was a Netflix documentary. Why am I forgetting his name? Oh, it made me cry.
Gabriel?
Yes, Gabriel. That was, like, one of the documentaries that really propelled me to want to pursue that field even more, because mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of times, like, kids are such a neglected population, 1, and 2, because they can't advocate for themselves, and 3, I've just seen so many things that I want to be able to help kids get them out of such shitty situations and into a better place. I don't know if being a caseworker would be a good fit for me, just because I know I can get emotionally attached sometimes.
You have feelings.
I do have mixed feelings, person. But But I feel like with play therapy, I think I would be able to balance like both. I wouldn't be seeing like the harsh reality, I think you could mm-hmm. say, but I would be able to help in a different way. And another fact that I was looking at is the veterans population, like mental health counseling, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm also passionate about that when it comes to mental health. However, the veteran population, they don't have enough resources for that, or they're like not getting the necessary care. So the VA was another thing I was looking into.
That does, yes, that would make sense. And it's actually interesting you talk about play therapy, because I just finished watching, it's a documentary on HBO Max about like Woody Allen and Mia Farrow and her daughter Dylan Farrow, and how Woody was allegedly sexually abusing her. And as like the police got involved and they were investigating it, they had, at the time she was like 6 or 7, like she was really young, they had Dylan like go to this hospital in New Haven, and essentially like she was just there like drawing, playing with things, but she was with I believe they were social workers, 2 licensed social workers, who, you know, as she's like playing and stuff, they're asking her questions and asking her about, you know, like what happened and all these details. The report did not go the way they wanted it to. It's possible they got paid off. Also, they deleted/got rid of like all of the evidence. So like they published the report and then got rid of the evidence, which apparently you never do. So that was very interesting.
The social workers, yes, got rid of the evidence?
Yes.
Oh, that's another thing that's wrong with the field. Oh, like, I get so like angry speaking about it.
Like rich people, like, do rich people just throw you money and you're like, okay, that's fine, we'll just look the other way, knowing a whole human is in pain,
hurting? That's the issue. That's the issue with the field, I feel like, because it's such a demanding field and there are so many people who need help, mm-hmm. but there are only so many social workers. So these social workers, especially caseworkers, they have so many cases. They have such a heavy caseload, and something like that happens and money's thrown at them, they're like, I don't get paid enough for this. Like,
yeah,
you know, and it's sad that that's the mindset, but it's the harsh reality of these fields where people are underpaid or and overworked. Like, and that's why burnout is such a big problem in the social work field too.
Yeah.
I feel like you have to be like super passionate about it, mm-hmm. and you have to remind yourself why you're doing it constantly.
Yeah. In therapy.
For sure. Oh, yes. Yes. Something. Some type of therapy for sure.
Weed is illegal in New Jersey. Listen. Options are so important.
However you want to relieve that stress, right, whatever way that is, as long as you're not harming yourself or harming others, I support you.
You can only save the world with so much of a sound mind. Just saying.
This is true. This is true. You do. I think it's important. Everybody, including myself, should be in therapy. I've had this talk with Kimani plenty of times. Yes. I don't know what I'm waiting for, but it's necessary.
And even like just knowing me as a person, like I'm very empathetic. I'm an empath. Like I'll cry freaking watching Grey's Anatomy because it's so easy for me to be like, oh my gosh, imagine if I just lost someone who died. You know, like it would not be good. Would not be good for me to sit down every other day talking to a child who's not in the best environment. No.
I've heard like crazy stories too. So sometimes I get a little nervous about it, and that's part of the reason why I've been so back and forth about it. Because if you heard my options, you'd be like, how in the world? Like, what were you thinking? Like, I was thinking social work. I was thinking public health. I was thinking healthcare administration, like all these different things. I'm like, what are you doing, Crystal?
With the people. And I mean, it is really important work because who are these people who are going to change lives? But unfortunately, the people are not getting paid enough to, you know, not be like, okay, 10 years in, I'm over it. I need to go work at freaking Michael's and live a quiet life, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a very versatile field, but if you don't explore all those options, then you will get burnt out and you will think, okay, I don't get paid enough for this and I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. Like, I've spoken, who was it? I think she was the head of the social work department of Seton Hall. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was one of the questions I asked her, like, how do you avoid burnout? Because, you know, it's a very demanding field, physically, emotionally, mentally, all those things. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, I always, like, I do one thing, and when I feel like I've conquered that aspect of it, like, I move on to something else. And I was like, you know, that's true. There's, like, so many different things you can do with that. There's, like, substance abuse. There's mental health counseling. Yeah, there's, like, so many different fields that you can go into in the social work field. So I think it's all about how you work the fields.
Worst case scenario, you'll just hop in a new focus, if you will. Mm-hmm. Get a break from being sad about kids and be sad about addiction.
Yeah, I mean, or you know, veterans. Be sad about something else.
Right, yeah, or not sad. You can, I mean, not to be like toxic positivity, because nobody wants to be like, oh my gosh, you can do it. Everything's going to be just fine. You know, like, not to be those people, but also, like, somebody would probably be looking forward to you, like, you know, checking in on them and stuff. And that's so cute.
You know, honestly, that does make me happy. I got really excited because back in December, I went to go get my hair done. And the girl who was washing my hair, she's like an intern there because she wants to get like her cosmetology license. Mm-hmm. So she was asking about me. So I was telling her like what I'm going back and forth about. She's like, you'd be a really good social worker. Like, I feel like I want to talk to you more. And I was like, me? Really? Don't mess me up. That's exactly how I felt. I was like, oh, okay, maybe I can do this thing.
You are a good listener.
Am I? Thank you.
Debatable.
I feel like I talk a lot. It's debatable depending on the mood. I mean, sometimes I don't feel like talking, and sometimes I feel like chatting your ear off.
That's true. Well, I mean, you'll always, well, then I guess maybe your job now is good practice. Because not saying that you'll always have to be on, but to a certain extent, between like the hours of 9 and 5.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind always being on. And even at my job now, the patients are, for the most part, are, you know, super nice. And being able to help them any way I can is really rewarding for me. Mm-hmm. It's just dealing with, like, disgruntled people. And even at that, it's not even a problem for me to deal with a disgruntled person. I'll say it's just difficult for me to deal with rude people. Like, girl, you are grown.
Right.
Please get your act together. Like, everybody that's, like, for example, at my job, everybody that's coming in is coming in because they're in pain. So, honey.
Right.
You are on the same boat as everyone else here. Wait your turn, sweetie. Please.
You're not, unfortunately, you're not special. This sucks, yes. But also, there are literally 5 other people who are here right now going through the exact same thing, or to a certain extent. Please.
There's a lot I want to dive into about that place, but that would have to go on a different podcast than yours.
Maybe
you could start like a different themed one.
A podcast where we just all trash every place we've worked at and the nonsense and the drama we've had to go through.
I just feel like I've realized West/Central Jersey is different.
Very much so. Yeah, as soon as you're like in the zip code where it's mostly middle class and upper to middle class, like, everybody just walks around like they have a shit, and it's like, ma'am, sir.
The privilege, that part, that's what annoys me.
I need you to have several seats right now. Mm-hmm. I'm only here. This is just
a job. Than that. Exactly. I don't make up the rules. I don't tell you things just for my like own benefit. Like, I'm telling you because this is what they told me to tell you.
I'm just a messenger.
Okay. I like having money and I like having a job. So please do not make my life difficult.
Like, I will go get my manager if you must, but they are going to tell you the exact same thing I just told you. Now we just wasted everyone's time. Now what?
Well, in some cases, they're the managers that make you look like an ass.
That's also true. Like, because I mean, this is mostly experience from the mall. Because I'll definitely be looking at somebody's return like, you literally wore this. And I know you wore it. I cannot return this. And then, you know, they get the manager. And then the manager comes on, they're like, you wear this, but it's fine, we'll take it back, but don't do this again. Yeah. And then when they leave, they want to be like, I don't know what she was thinking. So you just made
you
me look
allowed
crazy,
it.
And you were thinking the same thing. Interesting.
It used to happen all the time in my old job when I was a host. They would tell me, oh, you can't see this person, oh, we're on this type of way, blah, 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 blah. Someone complains, oh, I can take you, come on, follow me. Where the hell are you putting these people? Is there a secret table I don't know about? Are they sitting on the roof? Can you let me know? Because then I can, you know, like, expect please. Things here. Ugh, but what are you going to do?
Exactly.
This is the workforce.
It's only temporary, hopefully.
Yes.
Fingers crossed.
Not hopefully, definitely.
You know, I pray for you.
please do.
Having to be in any type of customer service role, it just really, like, it. Your brain works different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then now when I, like, when I'm out, I'm just, like, extremely hypersensitive to how I'm treating, like, a service worker. Because yes. I'm like, bro, these people probably don't want to be here. They're probably just doing this for the check. And everybody's making their life a living hell. So
exactly.
Like,
how can I make your life easier, but also I still have a nice time?
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Although I will say did I leave no tip? I have a confession and left no tip one time and wrote on this receipt that was the worst experience I've ever had at a restaurant. I won't expose them, but
leave a Yelp review.
I think I did.
Good. As you should.
Yes.
Listen, sometimes, like, and I'm the type of person, I will root for you as much as I possibly can. I will give you the benefit of the doubt as much as I can. But sometimes, like, I can't justify it anymore. And that's really unfortunate.
Very.
Oh, gosh. Triggered. But, you know, it's fine. Everything's fine. We're moving on. We're moving up. It's getting
period. Or should I say purr? Purr.
Purr. And on that note, we're going to wrap this up. Crystal, this has been very insightful. Thank you for being my first gap year guest.
Yes, of course.
Very realistic. You know, we don't have to have the answers in a year's time.
Sometimes we want them, though. We want them
for, like, peace of mind, peace of answering questions, but sometimes it's just really not going to happen. And that's okay.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Kate.
Thank you for joining
me.
So
much fun.
Hope you have a lovely day, a great evening, okay?
You too. I'll see you soon.